We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1. We'll read down through verse number 10. I do appreciate our Bible college students. Glad to have some of them home this summer. I am torn as far as whether to send any of them back. I may just get them all back here and say, forget it. Where's Katie? You've been there long enough, haven't you? The only reason we send them is because they need to find a husband or wife. So you kind of got to... Well, yeah, but you probably got one picked out. So you tell me who it is. You haven't? You took a whole year and you don't know? I'll go down and find you one. You stay here. I'll go down. I'll bring a guy back for you. It'd take me about 15 minutes. I'll find the right guy. Get this thing done and bring him home. Me and Brother Val go down together. We'll check him out. And figure it out. We'll bring him home, broker some kind of deal, and we'll get this thing done. That way, Lynette doesn't even have to leave. See, we can take care of that. Just Brother John, me and you'll go down there. We'll check it out. And we'll find a guy and bring him back. It'll be good to go then. So this shouldn't be that complicated. Hey. She seems excited about this. I think she's up here rejoicing right now. Amen. We're going to talk about grace this morning. Let's stand to our feet. You talk about a stretch of scripture here for 10 verses. If you're saved, these 10 verses, if you'll just kind of push away all the distractions and set aside everything for a minute and go back to the day you got saved and think about it, and then listen as I read these verses, I'll tell you what, you'll rejoice. If you're not saved here today, and by the way, I know what it is to walk in a church and not be saved. There's not a person that is in this church that is saved that at one time was not saved. Nobody's born saved. We're all born in sin. And weren't for the grace of God, none of us would be saved. Nobody's deserving of it. We'll make that clear by the time we get done this morning. But if you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus as your Savior, I want you to listen to these verses and understand that everything that it says is available for you today. Look at verse number 1. You talk about a wonderful stretch of scripture. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Let me explain this. He's writing to a church here. The book is called Ephesians. The church is located in Ephesus. This is a book that's written to a group of believers. People that are saved but at one time was not saved. So let's read again. And you hath he quickened. That means to bring to life. Who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And that's all B.C. verses, before Christ. That was true of every single one of everything. And I don't care if you were saved at 5 or 50. That was true of every single one of us. But look in verse number 4. The first two words. But God. Woo, come on. But God, who is rich in mercy for his... You can underline these next two words. Great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, parentheses, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us, through Christ Jesus. What a verse. Can I just read that again? That in the ages to come, he, speaking of God, might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for these wonderful, precious verses. And Lord, for those of us that have been saved, we look back and we think and we can only say, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. Everything that's chronicled in the first three verses, every single statement was true of each and every one of us, Lord. We were lost. We were without hope. There was no good thing in us. Nothing that would make you love us. Nothing that would make you want us but God. But God. And we're going to rejoice in grace. We're going to magnify it. We're going to lift it up. We're going to try to understand it. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that folks would understand that the grace of God is still offered today to whosoever will. And Lord, those of us that are saved, we have partaken of the saving grace of God. But Lord, we need grace still. We need grace. We need the unmerited favor of God in every aspect of our lives. And so I pray, dear God, that Christian today who needs a new level of grace, a new experience with grace, dear God, may you give them that this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. In Sunday school, I asked Brother Joe to come up to the front and give a quick testimony about some things that he had discovered while just doing some word studies this week about the book of Revelation. It intrigued me. It fascinated me. Something I hadn't seen before, so I had him just come up and give a testimony. One of the things that this pastor loves to do and enjoys to do, and we were talking before church, that there are, thank God, a few good things about technology, but I love to use my Bible computer program. I just love to use it. It saves so much time, and it allows us to reach across the scope of the entire Bible and do topical studies really pretty quickly. If you get a good, by the way, get a good Bible study program on your computer, make sure you have it set to the King James Bible. Let me just say that. I'm not going to get into that and preach it this morning, but I'm going to tell you something. If you don't have one, that I understand, you may not understand the importance of it. I would pray that you just take this pastor's recommendation. There's a reason I'm saying what I'm saying. But just stick with the King James Bible, okay? This whole slew of modern translations that have been used to, quote-unquote, help people understand the Bible more clearly, in the process of trying to update the Bible, have changed a lot of the Bible. And so I'm just going to steer you away from those, okay? We don't need to dumb down the Bible so we can understand it. We need to smarten up through the Holy Spirit of God so we can understand what it says. So hopefully that'll help you. But one of the things that's a blessing is as I gather together all of the verses that contain a certain word, I can sit there and literally with a push of the button, type in a word, push of the button, and I can just sit there and read from Genesis to Revelation every place in the Bible where a word's found. And I do this a lot in my just own personal Bible study time, not really in preparation of a message, but sometimes if there's something I need in specifically. Maybe I feel like my heart has grown a little cold and maybe I'm having difficulty in this area of love and really truly loving people as I ought to and loving God as I ought to. I can type in the word love and I can just read those verses. It's amazing how those verses will begin to stir the fire, stir the embers and help me in that area of my life. Sometimes I struggle. I'll be honest with you. Let me be transparent, real with you. Sometimes I struggle in my faith. And I feel like my faith is weak. I feel like my faith is diminished. I feel like my faith isn't as strong. Maybe I'm going through some things and I just need my faith re-energized. You know, wonder if I could type in the word faith and hundreds of times it's found in the Bible and just go through and read those verses and be encouraged and exhorted. Sometimes it's just found in a verse and I can tell by that verse there's things around it I need. And so I'll flip over in my Bible and I'll read that section and God ministers to my heart. Many of our people right now, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and I think I'm in the group with you, I think right now there's many of us that just need an extra measure of grace right now. Have you ever been there in your life where you just feel like, I need the unmerited favor of God. I need grace. God, I just need your grace. I want to say this. If you were to just pin me down and say, Preacher, of all of the word studies, all the topical studies you've done in the Bible, which study has benefited you the most? I think without hesitation, I would tell you that the first time that I took time to go from Genesis to Revelation and turn to and learn and study and read every place in the Bible where the word grace is found, I believe that was probably the most life-changing Bible study I've ever done. And I'm talking about just getting them on a computer screen and reading the verses. I'm talking about going to the place and studying every place in context and writing down what that portion of Scripture speaks to in this matter of grace. Without grace, there is no Christian life. Without grace, we're going to find out there is no salvation. Preacher, what is grace? The word grace literally means unmerited favor. Now think about those two words, unmerited. What does unmerited mean? It means you don't earn it, you don't deserve it. But you get favor shown to you, even though not only are you not deserving of it, you're deserving of just the opposite of it. So you do something and you should be punished, but the person decides to show you grace. Not only do they not punish you, by the way, that's mercy. They don't give you what you should get, the punishment you should get. That's not grace, that's just mercy. But they step clear around the other side of it and say, not only, you've done this thing wrong, not only am I going to extend mercy to you and not give you the punishment you deserve, but I'm going to come over here and give you blessings and goodness instead of the punishment you deserve. Woo! Now let that sink in. If you're at Blessed Hope Baptist Church and we have some ladies and some men that come from time to time to this pulpit and they'll sing a song about grace and you'll watch your preacher start, you know, getting a little Baptist-costal back here, you know, that's why. Because if there is a concept in the Word of God that I believe I get grace. I get it. And so I want you to get it. I decided these last several weeks that I would just do that. So I had different times. My schedule's been very different. But at times, I go to my computer and just start reading down through those verses, making little notes. And somewhere in the process of, and this is just kind of how mine works, it helps me to stay engaged, but I decided at some point that I was going to try to locate what I called the five greatest grace verses in the Bible. And I do that stuff. It keeps me interested. Now, don't get me wrong. If there's a verse and it's got the word grace in it, it's a great verse. Amen. So maybe it's wrong to rank it, but I just, in my own personal life, said, Lord, as I'm going through here, let me just take the greatest of grace verses, and let me just look at them, and let me just get something from them. And again, this was pretty much for my own benefit, and from that, I put these things together, and I was so blessed. I said, I'm going to go Sunday morning. Lord, I'm going to take what you've shared with me, and I'm going to share it with Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm going to have you turn to five places in your Bible this morning. All right, we're at the very first one. In Ephesians chapter 2. Preacher, what's the first of five amazing grace verses in the Bible? Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8. Here it is. Are you going to let me cheat, please, and add verse 9? All right. For by unmerited favor, are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So I'm hearing, preacher, do I deserve salvation? No. Do I deserve the opposite of salvation? Watch this. I'm not cursing young people. It's a Bible word. We do not deserve salvation. We deserve damnation. Yes, sir. Okay? We don't deserve to be saved. We don't deserve heaven. We deserve hell. And so God not only extended mercy by saying, I'm not going to make you go to hell if you put your faith and trust in my finished work, but I'm going to come over here and I'm going to bless you with salvation. I'm going to give you something you don't deserve. I'm going to grace you. I'm going to show you unmerited favor because you're lost and you're a sinner and you're doomed and you deserve hell. But I'm going to not only extend mercy to you and make you not have to go there, I'm going to head up to heaven and make a place called heaven, and I'm going to make you a mansion there, and I'm going to get me a book, and I'm going to write down your name in it, and I'm going to call that book the Lamb's Book of Life, and I'm going to give you salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God sent Jesus Christ to earth to make salvation available. Notice it says here, watch this, for by grace are you saved through faith. So God's extended his grace, the ability, the possibility, the way to be saved, but you by faith have to receive that. But when you by faith received it, then grace comes, so you're saved by grace through faith. Did you get that? And so the first amazing grace verse is Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Great grace truth number one, salvation is available to man only because of God's amazing grace. Now there are other grace verses to support this. There certainly is. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. How about Galatians 2:21? I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ died in vain. Salvation's grace cannot partner, folks, with man's good works. Salvation is by grace alone. To try to add works to grace is to profane the grace of God. Romans 11:6, for if by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Galatians 2:21, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Titus chapter 2 verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. I don't know what the Calvinists do with that verse. All men. Now, I know that you know this, and for most of our people this is elementary, but there may be people that do not understand and have never understood the amazing grace that brings salvation. But folks, listen to me. When we are born, we're born in sin. And when we are born, we're headed to hell. And you know what? That's where we deserve to go, and that's where we ought to go. Preacher, wait a minute. I'm not that bad. Then you're not ready to get saved yet. Come on now. Well, I know I need a little grace, but I've also got all my good works, and so I kind of almost saved me, and I couldn't quite, so a little grace added on top of what I'm already doing. No, no, you're lost. Look at me. You're lost. There's nobody that's ever been saved that haven't first come to the conclusion, to the understanding, to the acceptance of the fact that they cannot save themselves. Our righteousness before God is as filthy rags. You bring to me what all the world might consider the most holy person in the world, the most holy man, lives the most holy life. And you know what? If we brought him before you right now and stood him right here, and the presence of a holy God came beside him, you know what? God's holiness would make man's holiness look like filth. So I'm not saying that we're lost because of the, watch this, bad things we've done. I'm saying we're lost even because of the good things we've tried to do that are always tainted with some type of sinful motive. Come on now. Come on now. All right? What I'm saying is we're lost. We're not just kind of lost. We're all the way lost. We're not kind of hopeless. We're totally hopeless. I mean, if God hadn't sent Jesus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting. If God hadn't sent Jesus to die for our sin, you know what? There wouldn't be a person in heaven. We'd all have went to hell. It's only by grace that we're saved. Let me give you the second grace first. Let me have you go to Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5. Now, this verse here, again, just I'm going to try to be as dignified as I can. But, all right, come on now. Try not to embarrass you mossy back Baptists by getting too emotional about this. But I'm going to tell you something. This verse ought to do something for us. In Romans chapter number 5, if you'll notice verse number 20, watch this. Moreover, Romans 5:20, here's my second amazing grace verse. And by the way, if you picked five other ones and they were different than mine, I'd say amen to every one of yours, okay? We'll probably differ on this, but I'm just telling you ones that spoke to my heart in the last several weeks. Romans 5:20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Did much more abound. Can we read verse 21? That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, did you get that little phrase there? But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Our first amazing grace verse teaches this truth. Salvation is available to man only because of God's amazing grace. Our second amazing grace verse teaches this great amazing truth number two. Watch this. Here it is. Sin has never out-abounded grace. I don't even know if that's grammatically correct, but I like saying it. Sin has never out-abounded grace. Isaiah wrote this, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." I've run into people. I mean, I've dealt with people that honestly were held up from being saved by this thought. Preacher, you don't know what I've done. You don't know how bad I am. There's things that I would not even tell you. There's things that if you knew about me, you'd get up right now and you'd walk away and you'd never have anything to do with me again. You don't understand, preacher. I've sinned so much. I've gone so far. God can't save me. There's no forgiveness available. And I'm telling you that that is a lie of the devil. Because where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. I was reading a little story. Let me share it with you. An illustration given by a man in a sermon that I was reading. Here it is. I heard of a man giving his testimony at a Salvation Army meeting. He's giving his testimony. So the man that was running the Salvation Army meeting said to those that were there, "If you have been saved and you'd like to speak to your salvation, would you come up here?" And this man began to give his salvation testimony. But there was a heckler in the crowd. Showed up just to heckle those, shout down those who would get up and talk about the grace of God. And so the man began to yell this, "Would you shut up? Shut up! You're just dreaming!" And then he would laugh. The man would proceed and try to give his testimony. "Would you shut up? Shut up!" he'd say. "You're dreaming! You're dreaming!" He kept doing that over and over again, and finally a little girl got up and walked to the back, and next thing you know, before the heckler knew it, he was standing right beside her, and she was tugging at his coattail. When he looked down, there's a little girl, and she looked up to him and said, "Sir, that's my daddy up there. He used to be a drunkard. He used to beat up my mommy. We didn't have enough food to eat. Sir, that's my daddy up there. See that woman over there? That's my mama. See how happy she is? You see, sir, when he got saved, my daddy's life changed. Mister, if my daddy's dreaming, would you do me a favor? Don't wake him up. Don't wake him up." What a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. Now, I want you to remember something, folks. Watch this. I don't care what kind of a person you run into and how sinful they are and what horrible things they've done. I want you to say this every time you see somebody in that condition. Except by the grace of God, there go I. There go I. One of the things that I'm thankful for, I preached this week in Pennsylvania, and there was a man there that brought a group from inner city Chicago. Black preacher brought, I think, 9 or 10 of his young people with him. On the south side of Chicago, you talk about, I told him, I said, "Brother, I'm going to tell you something. You snuck in the devil." 5 years ago, he started a church. I said, "You snuck in the devil's backyard and started a church, didn't you?" And he started laughing. He said, "Pretty much. Have you ever been on the south side of Chicago? You talk about sin abounding. Sin abounding." I always tell you this. I thank God. I know it was part of God's preparation for my life, is that I spend the years that I did in inner city Chicago working with people that were enslaved to sin. You walk through those streets and you'd say, "Sin abounds." And God says, "Yes, but grace much more abounds." You go to the inner city gangs and you say, "Sin abounds." And yet we watched young people saved out of those gangs and turn to Jesus Christ. And you know what? They'd go through the same process to get out that they had to go through to get in. Watch this. You know how they became gang members? They would show up and they'd say, "I want to join the gang." And they'd say, "If you want to join this gang, 60 seconds, You don't defend yourself for 60 seconds. This gang is allowed to beat you and hurt you and do anything they want. 60 seconds. If you can stand it for 60 seconds, you can be a member of this gang. Now, 60 seconds may not seem very long unless you're getting beat by 15, 20 guys. It may not seem like very long. Come on now. That's how you got in. There ever came a day you wanted to go out? You know what you did? You showed back up. By the way, they didn't want you to go out. The 60-second beating to get in was brutal. But they weren't trying to kill you. The 60-second beating to get out, they were trying to kill you. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. I've watched young men receive Jesus Christ as their Savior and say, "Preacher, I could try to run away from this, but the honest truth is you can't run away from it. So there's only one way to get out. I'm going to get out the way I went in." And to love Christ so much, to have God make such a change in your life that you walk into a room with a bunch of murderous thugs and say, "Do what you want. I choose Christ." Come on now. Come on now. See, young people, I want you to get some of that in your heart. I mean, I want you to get some of that in your heart. I'm glad you haven't had to live through that or try to. I'm glad you're sheltered from all that. But should there be some of that in your heart? I mean, what would you be willing to go through for the cause of Christ? What would you be willing to endure for the cause of Christ? I watched sin abound. But I watched grace much more abound. I won't tell you all the stories. Let's go to the next verse, Ephesians chapter number 3, verse number 7 through 8. Come on. Drunkards, given to alcohol, sin abounds, grace comes in, much more abounds. Women given over to prostitution, sin abounding, grace comes in, grace much more abounds. The best soul winners I ever met in my life was the lady that rode my bus for several years, who at one time had her life tangled in prostitution, and her children came to church, and she started coming to church and got saved. I would preach. Watch. I would preach on the way to church. I'd preach on my bus on the way to church, and that woman was sat in the back of the church, a Spanish woman, at one time a slave to prostitution. And she would interpret in Spanish for the adults that would ride my bus, my preaching, and win them to Christ every week as I would come in. Where sin does abound, grace much more abounds. Yes. Ephesians chapter number 3, I like this. Verse number 8 is my life verse. "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Let's read it again. "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Great grace, truth number 3. It is only by grace that any of us have the privilege to be used by God. It's only by grace. Only by grace. Different Sunday school classes have taken in time from time to time to do something, and I'll come to my office, and this happens regularly, and I want to say to the Sunday school teachers, thank you for doing these type of things. Masters clubs do the same thing. They'll have the kids write notes to their pastor, or they'll every once in a while put together a little bag of gifts or candy or something, and they'll bring it up there. When I came back from the trip, Cheryl showed me some Dr. Peppers that came in and packages of candy. And who sent that? You remember? The Riser kids. Brother Riser's children set that on my desk. And I went to go share the package of Snickers with my wife. And she said, no, that's fine. You can have them. And I thought, wow, she's being good. And she said, no, there was two of them. she got hers already. Amen. So, glory. And so... Sister Angie Sagercy, several weeks ago, did this in third class, and she put a little note in the bag and pulled it out, and I read it, and she said something like this: "I want to thank you for letting me teach a Sunday school class. I want to thank you for letting me be a part in our master's club." She said, "When I something along the lines of when I first got saved, I thought, I could only dream that I'd be allowed to ever do something. And now I get to do that. You know what that's called? Grace. Why do you get to preach this morning, preacher? Grace. Well, what's grace mean again? Unmerited favor. It means, guess what? Not a one of us are worthy, not a one of us are deserving to do anything for God. Ushers, you know why you got to usher this morning? Grace. You know why these ladies were allowed to stand up here and sing this morning? Grace. Did they deserve it? No. They deserve to be used of God in that capacity? No. Neither do you, neither do I. Why are you standing up here and preaching? Grace, unmerited favor. God didn't look down and say, that man deserves to be a preacher. You know what? He looked down and says, he doesn't deserve anything, but I'll make him a preacher. Now, if you get that, no, really get it. Really get it. Remember when my mom and dad first got saved. I want to see if I can get this into your hearts. Remember when my mom and dad first got saved, and I don't remember a lot because I was pretty young, but I remember through the stories they would tell me. But one of the things that dad would testify to is how excited they were as new Christians just to have an opportunity to do anything for the Lord. I want to get this in your heart. Come on. Come on, Christians. Have we forgotten grace? Have we forgotten what an honor it is to do anything just to serve the Lord? I mean, Pastor Evans would come up into the pulpit and he'd say, we need somebody to drive the teenagers over to the nursing home service. And my dad would get his hand up real quick because he was scared that somebody else would get it up quicker and he wouldn't get the chance. And maybe he'll let me do this. And would you do it? Yes, I'd do. And then they'd go home and say, can you believe he's going to let us take the teenagers and drive them to the nursing home? Come on, where's the grace, church? Give me the grace servants. Give me the people that understand that I don't deserve to do anything for God. Anything God lets me do is an honor and a privilege. Remember, Pastor Evans got up and said, we need some help cleaning the church. Would somebody be willing to come over here every week and clean the church? My mom and dad shot their hands up, scared to death that maybe somebody else would beat them, just like many of you would. Come on. Hey, those of you that clean the church, thank you very much. But when you get to the point where you feel like, come on, it's not an honor, you need to be rebaptized in grace. You need to go back and find some grace. You need to understand that it is an honor to do anything for the Lord Jesus. An honor to do it. Walk around with a martyr's mentality about it. I mean, good night. We actually allow people to not only clean, but take money off their school bill. My mom and dad said, I'll do it. I mean, they came over there on Saturday and they would work so hard and they would be so meticulous and they'd make sure they were scared to death one piece of dust was left. I mean, this was God's house and they took it so seriously and felt such an honor to do. Are you listening to me? They haven't asked me to sing for a while. That's probably why. Because you know what? After a while, if grace is gone, the blessing is gone, the anointing is gone. Hello now. Come on, are you complaining about serving the Lord? Are you complaining about what you have to do? Are you getting this? Grace! Unmerited! I get to do this for God! I get so excited on Sunday mornings, I almost make myself physically ill. And you know, you think you'd grow out of that. But every time before I preach, I pace around and I know preachers have been in the ministry, Brother Joe, for 30, 40 years that puke, that vomit every time. I hate to say that. Is that the wrong? Regurgitate. Give me a good word. Hurl. You guys understand that. Hurl. Just because of the anticipation, just because of the nervousness, just because, you know what, this, I get to do this. God's going to. Come on now. I'm as excited to preach today as I was the day God called me to preach. I'm more excited today. Ma'am, I'm more understanding of grace than I was back then. God uses you in any capacity. Young person, you know what you ought to do? You ought to grow up every day of your life saying, God, please, would you use me to do something for you? Would you allow me that opportunity? I don't deserve it. I know it's unmerited. I know it would take grace, but would you use me? Instead of, I don't want to serve God. I hope they don't ask me to do anything. God, help us. You see, folks, it not only took grace to get us saved, none of us should be allowed to do anything except for the grace, the unmerited favor of Almighty God. Praise the Lord. You get to play the piano? That's grace. Amen. You get to work in the nursery? That's grace. You got to help in children's church? That's grace. You get to serve guys on staff here? Do you believe we get to do this? Brother Jesse, look what we get to do. He didn't look down at you and say, "Oh, that guy's earned it." You haven't earned anything. You don't deserve it, and neither do I. Every time we get to walk up here and open a Bible, are you kidding me? Sunday school teacher, is that still in your heart? Come on, is that in your heart? That God lets me do this every week. God, thank you. You could use other people. And I believe this with all my heart. When you lose that, you lose an anointing. When you lose that, you lose the blessings. God's not going to look down at somebody that feels like they've arrived and they've got it and walk around with a martyr's attitude about how hard thing is. Listen, you lose the blessing when you get to that point in your life. I get to sing. I get to be in the choir. I get to lead the choir. Are you kidding me? I get to lead singing at Blessed Baptist Church. Are you kidding me? What a blessing it is. I get to take food to a widow. I get to sign up and provide something for someone that's lost a loved one. Thank you, God. They're letting me do this. Thank you, God. Are you getting that? Grace verses. Let me give you the fourth one. Last two. Here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Some of you need this next one. Bless your hearts, you need it. Amazing grace, verse number 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Amazing grace, verse number 4. And he said unto me, are you there? And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, while I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I want you to absorb that verse. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. This verse is found in the context of Paul dealing with the thorn in the flesh, and thrice he came to God and prayed that he would remove that thorn, and God's answer was no, no, and no, but that wasn't the only message. He added this, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Then Paul said this, and most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Great grace, truth number 4, no matter what you're going through, God has available for you sufficient grace. Yes. Sufficient grace. I'll watch somebody going through something unusual, and you know what I'll say about that? Somebody will say, are they going to make it? Are they not going to make it? Are they going to make it? Are they not going to make it? And I'll say, well, they have an opportunity to access a level of God's grace that they've never had need for. I guess we'll see. If they choose to access it. Because the grace is sufficient. It's there. The unmerited favor is there. The blessing is there. God's grace will help you to go through anything. Paul says, I can't do this, Lord. I can't keep serving you like this. I mean, I'm trying, dear God, but this thorn in the flesh, this affliction, I mean, it makes every day difficult and every day hard. And God, it would be so much easier, please, if you just take this away. And God said no, and so he prayed again. By the way, biblical. Importunity. Keep praying until God says stop. So he comes again and says, God, please. And he was like that man that stood outside, and I have there's a friend that's come to me on a journey, and I have nothing to set beside him, and importunity, and he kept asking, and he kept asking, and he kept asking, and guess what, Paul, he knew that principle, so he says, God, please take it. No, God, please take it. No, God, please take it. And he finally said, no, and I'm going to explain to you why, and why you need to stop praying about this. I'm not going to take it from you, Paul. Come on, look up here, Christians. There's some things that you wish was not in your life, and guess what God says? I'm not taking it. No. I'm not going to take that from you. Sorry. Oh, wait a minute, God. No, wait. If I take it, then you'll never graduate. You'll never graduate to the next level of the understanding of the grace of Almighty God. I'm watching people go through things in our church right now. And you know what? The only way they're going to survive it is if they're willing to tap in to a level of unmerited favor that they've never needed till this point in time. There's saving grace, there's living grace, there's dying grace. You ever heard somebody that has cancer and say to yourself, man alive, I couldn't do that, I couldn't do that? Well, of course you can't, because you haven't needed to yet. Preacher, you ever heard a story of somebody losing a wife or a husband in some tragic manner? Preacher, I'm telling you right now, I just couldn't do that. And that's how I feel right now. I'd say to myself, Lord, if something happened to my wife, I'd self-destruct. There's no way. I don't have the grace to do that. You know why I don't have the grace to do it? Because I don't need the grace to do it. But there may be a day I need the grace to do it. You ever gone to some saint of God on their deathbed and say to yourself, as you're weeping, how are they doing this? How are they facing this? How do they have that grace? I couldn't do it. Of course you can't, because you don't need it yet. There's all kinds of people going through all kinds of things, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm going to tell you this. God's grace is sufficient for you. I think one of the most amazing things about life is when God puts upon us things that we feel like we cannot survive, we cannot get through, and yet we get on our knees and look forward and say, God, I can't do this. I can't do this. If you don't come down and you don't give me something that I don't have, and God pours upon your heart and your soul a level of grace that you didn't even know existed. And you get up and you stand up and you say, you know what, God, I'm going to make it through today. And then tomorrow I'm going to come get some more grace. Okay, I'll meet you. And you get up the next day and you say, God, I need some more grace. And he pours it on. I said, okay, God, I think I can get through today. And you know what you do? Some of us, if you learn to live the right way, understand you've got to go get a fill-up every single morning. You say, well, I don't think I'll need it today. You don't know what's going to happen today. Did you get that? Are there other supporting verses, preacher? There sure are. Galatians chapter number, Hebrews chapter number 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find help in time of need. James 4, 6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. He giveth more grace. Any person, no matter what they're going through, if they will humble themselves and come to God, you got to humble yourself. You know what? You're not going to get grace through pride. You're not going to get grace by saying, I can do this on my own. I don't need God. You get on your face before God and you weep it out. You say, God, I can't get through this without your grace. And God will give you a level and a measure of grace. But his grace is sufficient for thee. Did I give you 4 or 5? I'll read you the last one, then I'll pray. Okay? Here's the last one. Watch this. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, and by the way, that gift is grace. As every man hath received the gift, turn there if you will. You're going to want to draw a line of this, circle this verse. 1 Peter 4, 10. As every man, 1 Peter 4, 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Great grace truth number 5, here it is. Every Christian is to offer to others the same manifold grace that he has received from God. Every Christian is to offer to others the same manifold grace that he has received from God. What's that mean, preacher? That means that God showed me, Brother Abel, unmerited favor. I did not deserve any of his kindness, any of his love. I didn't deserve what Jesus did. I didn't deserve that. I deserved the opposite. I should go to hell. And yet God came down. A sinless God became sin so that I could have his righteousness. Now, somebody comes along and they do something to me. And I say, they don't deserve kindness. They don't deserve love. They don't deserve compassion. They don't deserve anything. And God says, watch it. Neither did you. Yeah, but God, this is different. You're right. It is a lot different because you're not perfect and I was. You're not sinless and I was. So you're right. It's a lot different. What I'm asking of you is less than you received from me. Come on, look right up here. You know what the fifth great truth is? If we've received this grace, how dare we not be good stewards of the manifold grace of God? Yeah, but preacher, you don't know what somebody did to me. I know. People can be mean and rotten and wicked and hateful and horrible, and so were we towards God. And God loved us. And God said, I'll die for you. He said, I'll die for you. Get that. Oh, okay, I'm not going to hold it against them, but I don't want anything to do with them. God didn't do that. He said, I'll forgive it, and I'll love them, and I'll accept them, and I'll save them. Get some of that grace. The five greatest verses on the grace of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that as we've had an opportunity to walk on holy ground this morning, I thank you, dear God, that we've been able to stand in the presence of the grace of God for a few minutes and be able to examine these incredible Bible truths connected to grace. And Lord, our hearts are challenged. If there's someone here this morning that's never received salvation made available through the grace of God, I pray, dear God, that they wouldn't just this morning realize that they're a sinner, but they would fall under conviction of sin. So we spoke in our Sunday school class that they would be brought to repentance for their sin. And I pray, dear God, that you would help them to understand that there is no good thing in any of us. If there's someone here that thought they were saved, and yet the honest truth is they've been relying upon a gospel that was preached to them that is grace plus works, and that's what they embrace and that's what they believe, dear God, that you would bring them to the realization that they cannot and were not saved by grace plus works. Help them to get lost enough to get saved. Help them to get lost enough to get saved this morning. I pray, dear God, for each and every one of us that are saved, that we would not think, Lord, that grace was just there for our salvation, but that we would live every day in the light and in the presence of the grace of God. That we'd realize that everything that we get an opportunity to do for God is only by His grace. The Lord, that we would begin to count once again serving God as a privilege and an honor. Pray, dear God, that we would, Lord, please, as we go through these infirmities of life, understand that sometimes God is simply not going to take away the thorn. He's just going to offer an extra level of grace. I pray for people that are going through heartache and, dear God, suffering things. And Lord, maybe they just literally are living day by day just on a daily dose of sufficient grace. And I pray, Lord, that you'd continue to supply that in their life. Lord, whatever we have to face day by day, and when it comes time for death, Lord, may we realize that your grace there too will be sufficient for us. May we, Lord, not be guilty of taking and receiving and accessing grace from you and then withholding it from people in our lives. Help us to love the person that we now hate. Help us to, once again, Lord, begin to pray for someone who might count us an enemy. May we understand, dear God, that nobody in this life has ever done anything that we haven't done worse to you. And may we not withhold unmerited favor towards them, Lord. Give us the grace to give grace. I pray for, Lord, the invitation. If there's someone here without Jesus, may they be saved. In His name we pray, amen.